It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In the book of Ephesians, we're in chapter 1, and one of the goals that I have as I go through this chapter and through the study of the Word of God, and you share that with me, you realize that I cannot show you everything, and God cannot show you everything at once, but my goal is this, that it may whet your appetite to get into the Word of God. My goal is to help you understand basics as we go through the Word of God. And as you go back and you study, you start building upon these basics. And I certainly am not able to teach you everything about and what is contained in the Word of God. My goal is to help you understand some of the things that I believe that each of us need to know, and that we need to look to the Word of God for the answers that we have in this life as saved people, and as unsaved people need to look into the Word of God and realize they need a Savior. Well, we're in chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians, and we started and we left off in verse 9. It says, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. God wants us to know the things that He has for us according to His good pleasure. And verse 10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times. A dispensation means a stewardship arrangement, a time when someone is taking care of someone else's property. And man has been left here on this earth to take care of God's property, to do the things that God wants done in this world. And we know that by reading and studying the Word of God that Adam disobeyed God and plunged the world, and that's mankind, into sin. And I'll say this again, that as man was plunged into sin today, and man has no one to blame for his sin but himself. We point the finger to Adam, but it's personal sin. It's my sin. It's your sin. It's no one else's sin. It's personal. And that's the reason we need to take care of it. We need to get rid of sin that is present in our lives. And for the unsaved person, that person needs to get rid of sin so they can go to heaven, so they can one day thank Jesus Christ for saving their soul. And us today who are saved, we need to get rid of the things in our lives that shouldn't be there by asking God's forgiveness, not to be saved again, but because we are saved, we need a cleansing daily from our Lord. And we need to go to Him and say, Lord, forgive me for the things that have crept into my life that shouldn't be there. I want to serve You. I want to please You, Lord. And we pray a prayer like that as saved people, and God listens. And we need to have the communion with God today like we did when we first got saved. We need to have communion with Him. Salvation is a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. As an unsaved person, you cannot have a relationship with the Lord until you get saved. And then that is a relationship that God says no one is going to take away from you. Now, we can have our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ hindered when sin creeps into our lives, but we need to get rid of that sin, and we need to say, Lord, forgive me. I want to have fellowship with You. And I keep reminding you that it's not that we get saved again when we confess that sin as a saved person. It's so that we can have our fellowship restored with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, once again, as we look at these verses, it says in verse 10 that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that's when things come to an end, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. He might gather together in one. Well, the word here means literally to sum up, to have an end. As someone who is a speech, who's speaking, does this at the close of what is ever being taught. It comes to a close. And the Bible says that He might gather together in one. Well, it's from the head. This comes from Jesus Christ. This means to the sum, in other words, the chief thing, the main point. And in the New Testament, the word that we're looking at here means to collect under one head, or to comprehend several things under one. And it's briefly comprehended, according to Romans chapter 13. It's briefly comprehended. In other words, it's summed up under this one precept. In Romans chapter 13, verse 9, it says love. And in our passage before us, as we're studying in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, it means that God would sum up or comprehend all things in heaven and earth through the Christian dispensation. In other words, it's over with. It's done. It's too late to serve God from that point on. It's too late to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's over with. Now it's for sure that when people go into what we call the millennium, people, I believe, will still be saved at that time. And there will be people who are lost, people who do not know Jesus as Savior, even in the millennium. Because the Bible teaches us that at the end of the millennium, that the devil will be loosed for a while, and that he's going to lead people astray just as he does today. One difference is he will lead these people to go after Jesus Christ, and Jesus will destroy them with the word of his mouth. And then at that point, all things will come to an end as we know them now on this earth. Well, in the millennium, we don't know those things today. Everything will be ruled by a rod of iron from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But the earth will be here. And then, after the millennium, all things change. Time is no more. So the dispensation of time will be over with. And as we think of this, and we go back, it says all things. Let's read the verse again, verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, when it's all over with, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, gather everything together, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Well, it may mean something other than what I'm going to say to you, but let me say this. He's going to gather all the saved people together. It's, if I could use this term, it's like a mother hen gathering the chicks together. Jesus is going to gather us together. We're all going to be one in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not going to be denominations. There's not going to be different differences made in people. There's not going to be differences made in male or female. There's not going to be any differences made. We're gathered together all in one. And I would suggest to you that you take time to go back and study this verse completely. That you go back and you start looking at this and you compare Scripture with Scripture and see what God says to your heart about it. And if you're unsaved, you need to read the Scripture, because there's coming a time when it's going to be too late for you to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. But you may not have the promise of tomorrow. That's the reason the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Jesus wants everyone to be saved, because he died for everyone in this world. And now everyone will not go to heaven, and that's sad. They won't go because they have not trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I pray that you have trusted him. And if you have trusted him, you need to live for him. You need to serve him. Tell other people about Jesus, how that they too one day can go to heaven because Jesus saves. They can go to heaven because Jesus has saved their soul. And one day, each one of us who are saved, we will see each other in heaven and we'll rejoice forevermore, because he's going to gather all things together, all of us together, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. All things that are good, all things. And we look at each other and we say, God bless you, because one day I'm going to see you in heaven. Verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 1 goes on to say, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Well, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. Who? Jesus Christ. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Well, there's that word predestinated again. Some people constantly take this out of context and they say, see there, God's only going to save a certain few, or a few that he speaks to, and he's only going to save a certain amount. He's only going to, well, God said that Jesus came into the world to seek and to save all the, who were lost. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And lifted up means that he was placed on the cross. And he said, if I be lifted up and if I die, he says, if I shed my blood and go to the grave and rise again, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. It doesn't say just a certain few. It doesn't say that God's going to choose just a certain amount of people or certain ones. He says, if all will look to me, they can be saved. Well, notice the word predestinated here. It says, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And I still say, and I relate to you how that this is speaking to the saved person. It's after the person gets saved that they are predestinated for certain things, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. It's predestinated to us that one of these days our inheritance is going to become real. We're going to go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. But the word inheritance here means that we already have that inheritance. And I say to you today that I have eternal life. I have inherited that from my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave his life for me. And if you'll stop to think that a person who inherits from someone who has died, someone who has left an inheritance, and then that person who is the heir, they receive that inheritance once that person is gone. Well, Jesus Christ gave his life for me. He gave up his life that I could be an inheritor, that I could inherit eternal life through him. He has left me the inheritance that I need, and that is eternal life. And one of these days, I'm going to really realize it fully, the inheritance that Jesus has given me, because I'll be with him forever. But I have that inheritance right now, and that is eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained, right now we've obtained this, an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. We've been predestinated, and I've said this before, we've been predestinated to be conformed to his image, to be like him, to put on the mind of Christ, to be more and more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, every day. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to become a little Jesus. That doesn't mean that we're going to be him. That means that we become like him, that we grow closer to him daily, and we grow closer to heaven daily after we have trusted him as our Lord and Savior. Now, you, one of these days, will give up the breath of life, or maybe Jesus will come back in the clouds before you do that. But there's coming a time when the breath of life will leave this body. One way or the other, the breath of life is going to leave. And Jesus Christ, I believe that once that happens, we go immediately into his presence. Why? Because we have inherited eternal life. We'll be alive forevermore because Jesus gave his life for us. He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary that you and I could be an inheritor, inheriting eternal life. And I look forward to seeing you in heaven one day. And I pray that if you have not trusted him as your Savior, that you will fall on your face today. Now, you don't have to hit the ground or anything. Falling on your face means that you get serious with God and ask him to save you. Ask him to come into your heart. Receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Lord, I receive you today as my Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.